Shot still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Siddle scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome along to a very special edition of Falkirk Daft. It's Falkirk Daft meets the management as we chat to the gaffer, Mr. John McGlynn, and his assistant and former Bairn, Mr. Paul Smith. I am your host, John McInally, and joined by my very own co-manager of Falkirk Daft, it is Ross Wayne.
How are you doing, sir? You all right?
I'm all right, mate. It's not that long since we last spoke. Obviously,
no, really. 24 hours.
But, you know, it's exciting. Since we started Falkirk Daft, this is something we've wanted to do, is kind of basically, you know, ask the questions the fans want to get answered, really. And it's brilliant. And thank you to the club. Thank you to John and Paul for giving up their time to offer themselves up, really, and face questions. Because we know we love Falkirk TV, we love Lewis and Stuart, but sometimes, you know, they don't get the time or the opportunity to ask the question they probably want to. So this is a great platform to do it, Ross.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I'm really excited to have them on. I think it's brilliant that they've agreed to come on, because let's face it, our patter can be chronic. So what have they let themselves in for? But I'm looking forward to it. I think this is going to be a good one.
Slightly nervous?
A wee bit, because
it is just like meeting the head. It's like getting brought up to the headmaster, eh? You know, and you... it's a wee bit like that. You're just like, oh no. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm really looking forward to the chat with John and Paul. But first of all, Ross, we have to thank our sponsors of this special show. That is Citrus Business Solutions. They're big supporters of the club. And they're big supporters of Gordon and the guys over there. If you don't know what they do, they're an award-winning national company who deal in traditional ink and stationery to professional standard supplies, print, workwear, and office furniture. They're going to offer a complete service for all your workplace procurement needs. So you want to speak to the guys over at Citrus Business Solutions. As well as over 50 years of experience, Citrus are also committed to working towards a more sustainable future by having a zero landfill approach, supporting local charities, and also working with various suppliers to source eco-friendly alternatives to bags and drinkware. Forget juggling different suppliers, partners, invoices and deliveries, all that sort of stuff. With Citrus Business Solutions, you're going to benefit from a tailored support, smarter spending, better value, and an award-winning service every single time. So if you want a fresh way to buy for your business, check out Citrus Business Solutions, as with over 200 years of combined experience under the belts, they provide more than 40,000 essential office products and a suite of services to businesses all over the country. So if your business needs it, Citrus is going to sort it out for you. Get in touch with them right now. Citrus Business Solutions. You can get them on 01282 602 099, 01282 602 099, or contact them. Dead easy to do. Tell them Falkirk Daft sent you. Speak to Gordon and the boys over there. sales@citrusofficegroup.com. sales@citrusofficegroup.com. Get in touch with them now. Sort out all your stationery for your business. The guys will get it sorted for you over there. Is that not right, Ross?
Absolutely perfect. Yep, absolutely. As we've obviously had Gordon on as a guest pundit way back. I think.
Yeah, we should point. But Gordon is one of the club's patrons as well, and yeah, we spoke to him by one of the early episodes of Falkirk Daft. So it's Gordon's business. Get in touch with Gordon. He will sort you out. Now let's get to the main event, Ross. And welcome the current Falkirk management team. It's John McGlynn and Paul Smith.
Hi, gents. How are we?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Guys, thank you for joining us on Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate your time, especially with a big game ahead of us at the weekend.
Big weekend. There's a big celebration coming as well, because Paul turns 60 tomorrow.
No way!
In November. So there's a big celebration, a birthday celebration.
I know, that's hard to believe.
It's very hard to believe, Paul. You don't look 60. You don't look 60. I remember when you were a 20-something running about Brockville, so that can't happen.
John, have you got a present for him?
Yeah, he's been well looked after, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Got a nice cake for him today, and the boys have got a whip round, and everything is going to be eating out for the next 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Players, the management staff, directors, everybody else, commercial team at the club have done me proud.
Oh, fantastic. Is it a call in the Caterpillar?
No. No. Lovely Falkirk cake.
Lovely stuff. That's what I like to hear. Well, happy birthday, Paul, when it comes to the best birthday present, I guess, would be a victory against Dunfermline on Saturday, of course.
Very much so. It was great, obviously, to win on Saturday. I said that to the players. It was great to win on Saturday. Good to have the presents today. And, you know, final thing, it would be fantastic if we could go and get 3 points this coming Saturday.
Fingers crossed. And just get into the questions, guys. I mean, you guys came in start of the summer. What attracted you to come to Falkirk in the first place?
Yeah, the size of the club, really, and the potential that's here. And it's in a situation that it's a sleeping giant. We all know that the club's much bigger than League One. And it was our job to try and get them out of League One, get them into the Championship and get pushing for Premiership. We know that it's not an easy job, because if it had been easy, someone would have done it in the past three years, you know, and that's not been done. So there's a challenge there, you know, there's a big challenge there to turn it around. We've been very pleased with what we've done so far, but certainly it was the potential at the football club. You know, it's a Premiership football club, and we, you know, have won League One on a couple of occasions, and we've knocked on the door, you know, getting to the Premiership. So we feel like it's a realistic possibility that we could do that at this football club with the backing that they have, you know, from the fan base that they've got, you know, and that can create a hell of a lot of money. And then if you can reinvest that money wisely into the playing staff, then hopefully we can keep everyone happy and we can fulfil our ambition.
Yeah. I mean, you guys were obviously on the other side, you know, facing Falkirk, you know, as opposing management team. Did you see problems on the pitch and you thought, well, we can come in and we can put our own stamp and our own philosophy onto that team?
I think if we'd gone to any football club, not just Falkirk, we'd put our own stamp, our own, call it DNA, and our style, how we like to go and play, and put our you know, training methods in place. So, you know, it wouldn't matter if it'd been Falkirk, we would have taken that with us. And obviously, as John touched on there, there have been a few previous managements over the last 3 years that haven't been able to get back into the Championship, and that's all our aim now this season, is to try and get back into the Championship.
With being an ex-player, Paul, did you kind of have a word in the gaffer's ear and say, come on, we've got to go to Falkirk, we've got to give this a shot?
We knew how big a club it was. You know, obviously, I had great times playing at Falkirk. You know, I think 18 months I was here at the old Brockville. Great supporters, you know, big crowds going to the game there. So we knew ourselves how big a club this is. And as I say, just repeating myself here, you know, previous managers tried and got there. And as I say, we're desperate to go and get the club back in the Championship, build on there and take them as far as we can.
What, I guess it's a hard thing to do, but in a sense, what is you guys' football philosophy? If you could sum it up, what would is your football philosophy?
I like to see something that you can identify with, that you can actually recognise what we're trying to do. I like to see something that's pleasing on the eye. I like to see good football. Now, Paul, I've got my vision of good football and what somebody else has could be two entirely different things. But I like to see the ball passed, you know. It doesn't need to be passed any certain amount of passes. It doesn't even need to be an exact number or even close to a number. It's not about a number. It doesn't matter if it's two or three passes, like we can do against Queen of the South out here when Nicky Hogarth gets the ball and he, like, from a very, very quick counter-attack situation from a corner kick can find one, you know, 70% higher up the pitch, to play the ball into Callum Morrison, hits a screamer in the top bin. And there's like one for Nicky and one pass for Wanty, Callum, and the ball's in the back end. Or another part, another phase of play where we maybe score 10, maybe after 10, 15 passes. It doesn't really matter. It's something that we've worked on. We've worked on that, what happened with Nicky playing to Juan and Juan to Callum. We've worked on that type of thing, whether we get the finish like Callum had on that particular occasion all the time or not is like, you know, up for debate, because no, that's not the case. However, he hit that one very, very sweetly. So I like an attacking style of football. I like it to be fast. I like it to be flowing. And I think that's what we've been producing. You know, I think that's what the fans have seen more often than not. It's not going to happen every game, unfortunately. You know, we'd want it to, but, you know, on certain days, you know, we're human beings, and for some reason or other, it may not work. Sometimes due to us, sometimes due to opposition. But I can, well, in my opinion, I can happily say that we've produced some really, really good entertaining performances so far, and we look to get better at what we do. And I believe we can still do that. I feel we're still in a transitional period. So I like fast-flowing football, attacking football, more or less on the ground, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, because you've got to see the opportunity to exploit the opposition to create a situation where you may have to get round them to score a goal. You might have to go over the top of them to score a goal. You may have to play through them to score a goal. So, and the more variety you have, the more difficult it is to predict what you're going to do and how more difficult it is for the opposition to stop you. And so I've got to have loads of different variations. You know, our movement is very good. More often than not, the opposition find difficulty with our movement, and that's kind of like feedback from the opposition more often, again, than not, with regards to trying to mark our players. So we have overlapping fullbacks, guys that can get up and down the pitch. You really want strong central defenders. You want guys that are good in the ball. But they also need to be physically strong, and they need to ideally have heights. You know, I'm going to say it, a big thing, you know, but you need height in your team, particularly for defending set plays. You will get teams who are very direct, and if you can't deal with it, then that's going to cause you problems. You've got to be able to deal with, you know, opposition who are direct playing. And you're no doubt going to have to deal with long throws, corner kicks, free kicks, you know, all these type of things. And you need to have players in your team who are physical. The modern day game, more and more and more, and the higher up you go, the more it's about that. You know, there's always going to be a place for a Messi. Of course there is. But you're not going to have a team of them, you know. So there's always be a place, but the way things are going, the way I see things going, where I'm watching football, you know, the Fiorentina team that played Hearts recently, we're all giants. You know, they're all giants. And what you want is really good football players who are giants, you know. That's how I see the game as heading in that direction and going in that direction. But there'll always be an exception, and there'll always be room for, you know, the smaller player who is nippier, sharper, sometimes difficult to mark, sometimes can lose it, but the opposition. So that's what I like. That's what I like. That's what I like to see. I like to be able to go in a game and identify what a team's playing, how they're playing. And I think the modern-day fan does as well. I think the modern-day fan is much more intelligent than previously. And I've said this before. I've done other podcasts, particularly with Graham Spears, and went over it. You know, the years going back from the start of Sky with Richard Keys and Andy Gray, and going up and a tactics board coming out, and the armchair fan even learning more and more about the game because they go over it. And now you've got Carragher and Gary Neville, who on their Monday Night Football go over the games at the weekend, and they've got all their whiteboard type thing with their tactics and everything else. I think fans are wanting more than just somebody lumping the ball up the park, and it's like a game of chance. You know, you might get, you know, I work with Brendan Rodgers, and basically his philosophy, you just kick the ball up, all it's happening is it's coming back quicker. You know, if you just launch out the park, all that's happening is it's coming back even quicker. You know, so you like to try and control games. Now again, there's another 11 players out there trying to prevent you from controlling games and trying to put their way they play onto you. And there's no right, there's no wrong. It's what works. But you're asking me what I like, and that's what I like, and that's how I like my teams to play. And I give credit to fans who, you know, all different types of fans who some will like that, some will not. But that's the nature. That's the nature. You have to understand that, you know. But we have to, you know, when we get chatting with the directors, you know, they're looking, they've liked to think that they've chosen ourselves because we've won the league a couple of times. We are very experienced, and they've seen the type of football. The teams that we've had have been credited with playing particularly good football, dare I say it, you know, silky soccer, you know. So,
yeah.
When we're those teams that are like kind of high scoring at the moment, now we've scored 25 goals, we're joint top with a few others, and you guys watching it and the fans listening to this, you know, we could easily add, oh, how many goals could we add to that? You know, the chances that we've missed, you know. And I appreciate every team in the league can say that, but I think we could say that most definitely, you know. So we could have scored umpteen goals. I've obviously chatted here for so long that you might not get an our question in.
No, John, I think you've almost answered the next question, to be honest. However, I think you're right. I think the fans have noticed a massive, massive change of culture in terms of the style of play. And you're right, sometimes it does have to be mixed up a bit depending on who you're playing or how a game's going. But I think the fans, and we obviously don't speak for all the fans, but I think the fans that we have coming on as guest pundits and stuff every Monday night, they talk about the calibre of football we're playing, and in the most, it is night and day compared to the last few years, if not even longer. So we thank you for that. You mentioned about your philosophy though, so that was going to be my next sort of question. You mentioned Brendan Rodgers there. Has he been the sort of biggest influence in your management style?
Well, in recent years, but I think you've got to go back a little bit further, because I was very fortunate, because there was another couple of sort of Falkirk legends that gave me an opportunity to get in the game with Jim Jeffries and Billy Brown. You know, when they left Falkirk to go to Hearts, they allowed me to go into Hearts under 16 level, and I worked there for 11 years and made my way up when Paul Hegarty went to Aberdeen. Peter Houston went into moving up from the Hearts under 18 coach into the first team coach, and I got an opportunity then to go full time with Hearts under 18 level. And so I learned a lot from Jim and Billy, you know. I learned a lot from them. And then Craig Levein came in, and I learned an awful lot from Craig Levein. So there was 4 years there between 2000 and 2004 when I learned a lot under Craig. But, you know, to this day, I'll always thank Jim and Billy for, you know, allowing me that opportunity and the chance, and learning from them so much, and their work ethic to the game. I mean, Jim and Billy, you know, we'd leave training on a Tuesday and we'd go down south to watch reserve games and all sorts of games doing in England, and they done it when they were here as well. And it's the only way that you can find players, and you know, you buy into that habit. And I know that, like, say, other people of like John Hughes and Brian Rice, they learned that from them as well, and they took it on. So they were a big influence in what I did. You know, after Craig, we had George Burley, John Robertson, a very, very small time at Hearts, just a few months really, and then George Burley came in, who again learned a lot from George Burley. He had a really, really good successful peak time at Hearts, albeit very short. And then Graham Ricks came in, and then some foreign coaches, Valdas Sivanauskas, Edward Malafif, before I got the chance to manage myself at Raith Rovers. So yeah, learn a lot all the time, and then you've got to stand on your own 2 feet and learn your own way. So I had a great apprenticeship and a great sort of education before you got the opportunity to go and manage myself, and then, you know, stand on your own 2 feet. And then obviously that's where, you know, Paul comes in. We've been together from the best, from the most of, you know, initially Gary Kirk was there, but Gary then went to London United with Craig as well. And Donald Park was in for a very, very short period. And then Paul came in, Smudger came in, and then we've been together, you know, more or less, with the exception of the period where I went to Hearts, and then go back to Hearts' manager, a period at Livingston, yeah, and before working at Celtic. So when you move into Celtic, I was initially working as a scout under John Park on the scouting, but then when Brian Rogers came in, I ended up doing the opposition analysis. And yes, in that period, I would probably say that I've learned much more tactically, and the people he worked with and people he had around him that you learn from. And without doubt, you know, the way we play is more that we've learned from working at Celtic and working with the people that, you know, Brendan Rodgers, Chris Davis, John Kennedy, Colo Touré, you know, you can go on and on and on, you know. It was you try to translate that into, when I go back to Raith Rovers, you're trying to put that into place with the players you've got. And then when you come here, the same. Because we got plenty of plaudits for the style of football that we you know, played. And, you know, in the very short term we've been here, that seems to be the case again. So we're obviously getting our message across. The players, you know, enjoy playing in it. We enjoy seeing them play good football. And ideally, it's we getting goals as well.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think for myself on that one, it's very much the same, Lennon, of previous managers. Obviously, I worked under Jim McLean and Tommy McLean, who tactically, probably Jim McLean, I was only at Dundee United for maybe 8 months. But at that time, he was probably way ahead of the game with, you know, most other coaches at that time, working with Jockey Scott. So, you know, a hell of a lot of good managers I've worked under. And then you go the other way and you're working with Jim Leishman and you learn a man management skill, how to deal with players to get the best out of players as well. And John's obviously touched on the tactical side with Brendan Rodgers, and we have certainly moved with the times. And I have to say, I've learned so much off of John and, you know, working over the last 4 years as well with what he's picked up from his time at Celtic.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are two guys that obviously live and breathe football, and you know, talk about the philosophy. When you come into a club like Falkirk, with this kind of philosophy, how you want to see the game played, you know, and we've obviously struggled the last couple of seasons, how easy or how hard was it to bring that into the club and also to get the players to kind of stick to that?
Well, the first thing is recruitment. You know, that was the first thing we had to do. We started to recruit players. You know, we had 13, 14 players under contract. So, of course, that tied up a fair chunk of budget, you know. So we only had X amount of money to then reinvest into the football club. And we immediately, you know, felt that we need to get stronger in the central defence, you know. We felt we needed to do that. And that's where, you know, bringing in Cole and Hendo, Liam Henderson, into the squad. So that was the first thing, was bringing in players. Plus the fact the players will take the ball, they want the ball, they pass the ball, they're good football players. I worked with Cole Donaldson when he was like 18 at Livingston, and he got a move to Queen's Park Rangers. And way back then, before me, you know, John Hughes and John Collins were coaches at Livingston when Cole was even coming through when he was younger. So he was brought up by passing the ball from the back, taking the ball and building the game. And I knew that by bringing Cole, we'd have someone who is very much wanting to do that. Liam Henderson, yeah, again, is a very, very comfortable on the ball. Great range of pass. You know, we've seen the passing that he can do. But they're both like 6'3". They're both very physically strong. They're both, you know, I mean, Cole's got, I don't know how many appearances he's got under his belt. He's played in the Premiership, you know, in Scotland, obviously. Even up until, you know, a year ago with Ross County before he went alone to Dunfermline in the second half of the season. So bags and bags of experience. Liam was part of a very successful, you know, albeit just missed out our growth team last year. So trying to get players in who were going to play the way we wanted to, but at the same time be like good defenders and physically strong players that we've mentioned. And again, that was another good reason towards the end of our time at Raith Rovers. We brought in Sean Mackey around about end of January, February, because he played in the Scottish Cup tie against Celtic. You know, and we liked the way that Sean played as a left back, and we felt, you know, that we need to strengthen in that area as well. And so, you know, immediately trying to get that, I mean, the goalkeeper, we had to do something on the goalkeeping front as well. So that's where the PGA comes in. So everything I can go through now, I can, we can talk to 10 o'clock tonight about how many players were brought in, why we brought them in, what we did, you know. Stephen McGinn, obviously that influence, that winning mentality that he goes and wins a league with Kilmarnock last year. We need somebody who's, you know, got great experience in the game, both for on the pitch and off the pitch, you know, and a winner, and having an influence, a good influence on the younger players as well, because we are actually quite a young squad, you know, we are a young squad. We have obviously got a lot of the players there who were there. The players that were there are technically good football players. A lot of them are technically good football players. No doubt, it's not for me because I don't really worry about the past. But probably, I think it would have been said that too many of the same types of players, you know. But with the style of football we're playing, they can play it. They can get into it and they can just get a little bit of confidence going. And allied to the players we've just mentioned, the backbone of the team, then it can work. It can work because I don't believe anyone who likes playing football wouldn't want to play the way we play. You know, and so the guys will want to, they do, they want to play. They want to play. And so, and by that, I mean, they want to play football, you know, and they enjoy that, you know. And again, there's no right, there's no wrong, but it's, you know, it's, if you can identify something and it's good in the eye, then for me, that ticks boxes. And the players who are there, like Aidan Nesbitt, Callum Morrison, Craig McGuffey, these guys, Stevie Etherington, you know, they've all kind of like Ryan Williamson. Unfortunately, Big Ryan's been injured for a while, but he just, you know, probably had his best game that day against Peterhead, and then picks up an injury. Liam McCann is just like kicked on. Well, I don't know, but I see him playing particularly well. Brad started the season well, picked up an injury, got himself back in. And now, young Finn Yates, we all were raving about him when he first came on the scene. And for a young boy of his age to play so many consecutive games, is outstanding, absolutely outstanding.
Phenomenal.
The loan deals that were brought in between Juan and then, Romano's not a loan deal, Romano's our player. Bringing in Kai Kennedy in, again, Kai came in, immediately got a hernia, had to get a hernia operation, so it took a wee while to get going. Now you see him, you know, what he can bring to the team. You know, we're finding ourselves with a very, very strong squad.
Yeah. Absolutely. You guys, you must have, you go home to the wife's at night. How do you relax? Because like I say, just listen to you there, John, listen to how you interview. It seems you just want to talk about football all the time. Just get home at night and the wife's just go and just shut up for a minute. How do you guys relax when you get in the door at night?
You wouldn't believe it, actually.
Go on, John, go on.
The first thing you do is take your laptop out. Start looking at football.
Is that to watch the Falkirk Daft podcast, I assume, John?
we don't do social media. So we keep away from the social media side of things. So that's certainly one thing we won't be watching.
She's probably going, what a boring sod you are, you know? Yeah, you know, my wife, and, you know, obviously, been married some considerable amount of time, so she's just used to it, you know, But more or less, laptop comes out and you're maybe looking at the game for the last weekend, you're maybe looking at your opposition that you're going to be playing this weekend, and starting to organise your training for the next game day, you know. All right, so it's not completely full on, but that's not a million miles away from it either, you know. And like, you know, tonight there's Champions League football. What else are you going to do?
Exactly. So you don't watch Strictly on a Saturday night, John. That's what we're getting at then, huh?
No, it's even one of those when you wake up at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, especially, you know, if you've had a bad result and you're going over the game, John probably gets up and watches on the laptop at 3 o'clock in the morning. it's always going through your head, you know, what we did well, what we didn't do well. So it's always there or thereabout.
Do you know, it's interesting you've actually said that, Paul, because that we've joked previously about if we've maybe not had a good win or a convincing performance at the weekend. We've actually joked on the podcast saying, I bet you John was up at 3 a.m, 4 a.m, dissecting where it's kind of went. And obviously, you've just confirmed that. So,
well, you do. You wake up, you know, sometimes you have your best ideas in the middle of the night. So, you wake up with different things going through your mind. It'd be a good performance, which usually if you've had a poor performance,
yeah,
you're not the best of sleep and you're up trying to say dissect things.
Yes, it's no joke, that's for sure. I can remember years and years ago, probably showing a bit like you used to kid on, you know, we're kind of like backroom staff and the guys that we, you know, if a Saturday night, if we got a bad result, then the missus was watching Pop Idol and I was upstairs on the laptop or vice versa. So, and that was the size of it. So you're watching Pop Idol and it'd be like, no chance, you know what I mean? You know, you mentioned Strictly. Now I'm not into Strictly at all, but Pop Idol, X Factor, and The Voice, maybe. Eh? Yeah,
superb. That's interesting. You've talked about the weekend, so obviously the fans get to see you guys on a Saturday afternoon. We hear from you during the week as well. But what does a typical non-match day look for John and Paul? What happens at the stadium?
Oh, like a training day.
Yeah.
A training day.
Training week, we'll come in on obviously Sunday off, we'll play the game on the Saturday, had a good result. Come in on the Monday, Gaffer will do a bit 20-25 minutes video analysis.
Please, Steve McKay.
Then obviously we'll split, usually on a Monday we'll split into two groups, do a wee recovery session with the 10 that played, and then the rest of the guys, maybe depending on the numbers, 10, 11, we'll go and train these guys on a Monday. Right. And then, you know, Tuesday we come together and train together on the Tuesday. And it's just a gradual build-up, Thursday, Friday, getting preparing for the game on the Saturday.
And do you guys tend to pick the team, as in sort of tell the team what the starting lineup is earlier? Sorry, not earlier in the week, but Thursday and Friday to get them into that mindset as well?
More often than not, they're going to have a right good idea, you know. All bar one this season, we've virtually named the team on a Friday. Sometimes you'll get a right good idea by a Thursday, but as I say, barring one occasion, we've virtually named the team on a Friday. Yeah, we go over our set plays that we're going to do on the Saturday, and that's a dead giveaway as to the team on, you know, on the Friday. When we do it on the Friday, it's basically the team is going to go out, barring players picking up, you know, COVID overnight and bits and pieces, which happened, and, you know, Big Ryan picked up COVID.
Edinburgh City,
Dunnet Morton, there was something happened, Dunnet Morton overnight in the very, very first game. You know, I think it was it Stevie Hetherington that missed, somebody else missed out in a game. Barron, and that we actually had that happening quite a number of times, actually, early in the season. We kind of got everything prepared, planned, team lines done, and then, you know, there was some mishaps, which, you know, we've had over, like everyone's had over the last couple of years with COVID and the likes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the team seems to have been picking itself, John, obviously, you know, keeping that winning team going. You made some changes, obviously, there at the weekend, which worked out, great result there at the weekend. I'm sure the two boys, the headache you've got is between Allegria and Burrell up front, because both have been fantastic in very different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. We have great competition in the squad now, actually, you know, which is fantastic. It's a great problem for myself and Paul to have when we've got so many players available, you know, and competing very well every day in training. So we need to take into consideration the forum, and when you're winning, it's fairly straightforward if you've got the same players available to you. If you're playing well, then it's, you know, there was a consistency when we were like after Dunfermline game, we bounced back from the defeat to Kelty. We had a good performance against Dunfermline at Dunfermline, and then we went on a good run there where you know, we're winning games and scoring goals. And so for that point of view, we, you know, you do want to keep that going, and there's no real need to change that. And I understand, you know, there are others, but more like you're talking about your Chelsea's and your Man City's and your Liverpool's, guys who are playing, and maybe even, you know, your Celtic Rangers, and they're talking about rotation when teams and players are Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, you know, over a lengthy period of time, where that is going to, you know, tax your squad without doubt, you know. But we only play the odd midweek game. And so, because of that, I don't think we really need it necessarily. And if we were playing to, if we were saying to players, well, we're going to start rotating round, you know, just to keep everyone happy. You know, if you're playing great, you want to be in the team. You didn't necessarily want to be, like, taken out, you know. So, can you, like, put the ground rules in right at the start with regards to, you know, if you're playing well in a team that's winning, you know, then, and you're available, then, you know, we'll go down that road. And we've always kind of done that, and everyone really knows where they stand. And we've now got great competition in midfield. I mean, we can, you know, like Liam Henderson is a very versatile player in that he can play centre-back. At Dundee, we used him as a centre midfield role. He could go in and play at left-back if needed to be. Dick Campbell actually played him at wide left, so he could actually go and play there. So that's great. You know, that's great. You know, we've had to play Finn Yates at right-back. Now, he went on loan last year in the Highland League and played right-back, but it's still quite a big step up to play in League One at right-back, but he's acquitted himself really well because obviously Ryan went out and really only got the one natural right back. So in the last few games, felt that, you know, said earlier how well Finn has done, but for a young boy to play nearly every minute of every game for about 16, 17 games, you probably need a little break. And like Brad had come back from injury, was knocking on the door, comes in, you know, again, like you said there about Saturday, can he work? Well, can he work when Brad scores the first goal against Alloa that night? Yeah. And so Brad's, you know, give us another dimension with regards to we've got somebody else who's very, very good in the opposition box with regards to, you know, creating goals, creating chances, at the same time good in our box for defending set plays. You know, so there's a lot of competition. And even in midfield, you know, we had a bounce game last Monday night and the boys did really, really well. And Stevie Harrington played, Ola played, Seb Ross played, they all done particularly well. Sean Mackey played, he played great, you know. And so we've got about 20 players who are really in form. We had a disappointing game against Kelty. Yeah, we changed it at half time. And there's no point in having competition for places if you're just going to stick with the same thing all the time and it didn't go right. We need to give one or two a little wake up call that, you know, it's not just a matter of coming in and just taking the jersey. So yeah, there was a couple of changes and it's up to the players then to grasp that opportunity, which, you know, by all accounts, they did. And so the players all know where the sort of the guidelines are and what they need to do. And all I can say is they're working extremely hard and they're working hard for each other. They're working hard for the club. They're working hard for the jersey. More often than not, we'll produce really, really good performances. And they're breathing down each other's necks to try and get in that team because they're actually enjoying doing what they're doing. But they want to play a part, you know, then they just want to come on for like 15, 20 minutes. They want to play longer.
Yeah.
But we can only get 11 on the park. And, you know, when we win, we've got it right. And when we don't win, we've not got it right. And that's football.
Thanks, John.
We've got a real happy changing rooms, you say. The boys love coming into the work, love coming to the training every day. And it's a great group of players we've got. You know, they got on really well together. And that all helps. You know, if you've got a happy changing room, it makes our job a hell of a lot easier.
I think you can tell in the park as well because, you know, it's what we've been missing, I think, you know, having suffered the last few seasons. It's you can just see that there's a real spirit on that park and real leadership on that park as well because it's another thing we've probably been missing on the field in the last few seasons.
I think that's something that, you know, when we came in, John spoke about recruitment and that's exactly the type of players we want to bring in. Obviously, the Cole Donaldsons, the Liam Hendersons, and McGinn with his experience. You know, real characters about the place as well. They're fantastic in the changing room. And as John mentioned, you know, we let them police that changing room themselves. And Steve McGinn's obviously a big leader in there.
Paul, see, just because I know John's probably got another couple of questions to go, but I think, see, one thing you mentioned there about the atmosphere on the pitch, it's actually translated to the stands as well because you feel it in the stands now from kickoff. But even then, when it's not going to plan, like the Kelty game you mentioned at halftime, like I genuinely have no idea how we didn't actually turn that game around and win it or get the draw, because the crowd were up for it, the players were up for it. There was that proper sense of unity again that we've been missing for a long time, you know?
Yeah, and again, that comes from the players on the park. As I say, I was at a couple of games, Falkirk games last year, and the atmosphere wasn't great about the stadium. But certainly the fans have been absolutely fantastic. The away fans have been, as usual, the away fans are always the best, obviously when they're away from home. They've been absolutely fantastic. The home crowd are starting, as I say, really, really get behind the team as well. And it makes such a difference when you've got positivity all around the stadium.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, fair enough, we got a wee bit stick when we came off half-time against Kelty, but they saw what the players reacted in the second half, and they were very positive right up to the final whistle there.
Well, we sit right behind the home dugout, and I don't want to pitch him out, but it was definitely John having a go. just thought I'd say that.
It's not something that you want to be doing too often or anything like that, you know, but it wasn't good enough. So sometimes you've just got to actually speak louder than words. You just got to try and. So we made some changes and changed the style, you know, which isn't easy to do. It's not easy to do that.
I was going to say, John, I mean, there was a notable change in the style kind of through the game. Did that kind of go against what you want to do, but you just thought, you know, we need to take them on and we need to do something drastic here?
Absolutely. 100%. Exactly. It's not the way that we want to play. Going back, it doesn't matter how we score goals. We score two goals a set plays, scruffy type goals, but, you know, they all count. And so that's important. And it maybe could have got us a point in the day, you know, maybe a win if we'd got that equaliser earlier, but obviously it didn't come at all. But yeah, I think the changes and playing a bit more direct. So I've said this in the interview on Friday, which lasted 60 minutes, I've been told, that when you've got a DNA and when you've got a way of playing, teams can set up to play against it. And obviously we need to do what we do better to combat that. But when you actually go, like, we went route one for the opposition, well, they're not used to doing that. They weren't ready for that. They're not seeing ready for it. But they're still then, oh, we're dealing with something different now. You know, because both Juan and Romarin, they're two very, very strong boys. They're both, you know, good runners. And they're both physically strong. You know, you won't knock them about. And so when we went with the two up and we played a little bit narrower in midfield, three players in behind that, it became a direct style, up on the ball. And barring, you know, losing that stupid, like, third goal, you know, I think we 2-1 and very much on top. You know, we would have got something out of that game if we hadn't lost that, you know, really, really, like, soft, blinking third goal, you know. So, yeah, we had to change. It's not something you would want to be doing too often. But horses for courses and getting a reaction was very much the way about it on that particular occasion.
Absolutely. A big question, we put this out on our Twitter, a big question was asked, do you think there'd be, if we're pushing for promotion come January, do you think there'll be room to manoeuvre in the transfer window? I mean, you're obviously really happy with the squad and there's, like you said, lots of competition for places. I think the one place that would probably, you talked about Finn Yeats moving over to right back, we've got Brad Mackay in there at the moment. Do you think there's maybe room to manoeuvre, maybe bring in a right back come January?
Well, we're always looking. You know, we've got Alan Fraser as our sort of head of recruitment, chief scout, whatever you want to call him. And, you know, what a work he does. What a work he does. A lot of the work Alan is doing is obviously local stuff, Scottish games, but he's down in England watching under 23 games as well. A lot of the work he's doing will stand us in good stead, maybe not just right now, but maybe in the second year, hopefully the third year going forward, when we League One in Scotland is not getting recognised particularly well in England. I'm not saying not at all, but it's a little bit of an ask for some of the bigger clubs in England to put their players into League One. There'll be one or two here and there, but they're not a lot. Championship is an easier sell. It's more attractive. And obviously Premiership, yeah, it's no problem whatsoever. So yes, so Alan's doing a lot of work, a hell of a lot of work. And obviously there's players that we know about, and there's be potential loan deals from other clubs, you know, and from the Premiership. So that's a possibility. Everything will come down to money. You know, money is the big thing. We can produce players absolutely no problem. It will be money and how, you know, there's going to be a massive crowd here on Saturday, which is going to obviously create, you know, good finance coming in. And the more fans that come to the games, the better. If we're playing attractive football, scoring goals and winning games, then, you know, this is the reason why we came, because it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's going to generate more money. And that will give us a chance to bolster the squad, you know, bring players to the team. You know, when I say bolster, I don't just mean just numbers. If, you know, if you're bringing players in, you really hope that you're going to bring in players that are going to make us better, you know. So, and we'd only really want to do that by bringing in players that would do that and make us better. So, yes, I mean, I'd be disappointed if we don't, you know. I'd be really disappointed if we don't, because we always try to wheel and deal, you know. And that's what we did. That was the very first job when we were given the reins. You know, it was like, well, it's the end of May. It's time where players are all available. The January window is a completely different window from, you know, the summer window, when there's a lot of free agents, a lot of guys are moving clubs, and you've got a lot of choice. The January window is not great. It never is great. And you've got to be very selective. But hopefully there's a little bit of manoeuvrement for wheeling and dealing. I think it's always good to bring in a fresh face in or two, just to give us all that little bit push. And I think the fans like to see that as well. So fingers crossed we can do that. You know, I say we'll always produce players. We'll always get players, you know. What we need is somebody to say, like, there's X amount, you know.
So a few home sellouts between now and January would be helpful then.
I would think so, yes.
So, obviously, John, you mentioned Saturday there, so it's obviously it's the big one. It's the Kincardine Bridge Derby, it seems to be labelled as in the modern day. It's heading for a sellout, just as you mentioned, which is going to be absolutely amazing. How did the match at East End Park earlier this season compare to sort of previous games that you played against Dunfermline with Raith and all the other teams?
I think with a spell at Raith, John, I think we were unbeaten in, was it 8 games? Maybe not quite as much as that, but no, we did fairly well against Dunfermline at the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, the last game against Dunfermline, they did beat us with Raith, but we'd obviously won the Challenge Cup on the Sunday and we'd be a wee bit tired on the Wednesday for that game. But no, we've always had good games against them. Going back to my own time here at Brockville and at East End Park, they're always great games to play in. Obviously played in a 4-0 win with Falkirk and a 4-0 defeat with Dunfermline for Falkirk at, I think they call it Super Tuesday.
Indeed, so, I remember it well.
Great games, great atmosphere, a good occasion. As you say, the fans are coming out in their numbers, and hopefully we can go and put on a good performance and get the 3 points.
Well, no pressure, guys, but my prediction on the episode that we did last night was a 4-0 home win, and a Super Saturday was the chat, so no pressure at all, okay?
Well, I mean, they've got to do it for Paul's 60th as well, you know, the boys have got to do it for the 60th. John, you mentioned it took you 16 minutes to do the interview last Friday. We thought we'd finish off the interview with some quick fire questions, if that's okay with you.
We'll see.
On you go.
Right, okay. Right, let's go. Who's good cop and bad cop between the two of you?
It's a mixture.
Good cop, bad cop, bad cop.
Depends. Yeah, it's a mixture.
Depends
yeah.
what day you get us on.
It's a mixture. Yeah.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, we both go in us to be either or, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Do you have a chat beforehand, like the good cop's bad cop? Right, you're bad cop today, I'm good cop.
No. It's natural. What you see is what you get.
I take it after Kelly was bad cop then.
Aye, for at least about a week.
we think we heard you at halftime, so I can imagine what after the game was like as well.
How embarrassing is that?
Hardest trainer in the squad?
Erin Robertson to reception, please. Erin Robertson.
Well, training is a difficult one. That's a difficult one. Aidan Nesbitt runs the furthest in games.
Right.
He runs the furthest in games. He's more often 13K, regular, wow. regular in 13K.
Wow.
High speed running. Callum Morrison is very good with a high speed running. Yeah. Yeah.
We've got a great group for training, and it's probably impossible to go and pick one player out as the best trainer because they've all got different strengths and weaknesses and that. And as I say, they work hard really every day. So very difficult just to go and pick one body out of that one.
Yeah.
Who's the dressing room joker?
We've got a few. We've got a few. Donaldson's I wouldn't really like to be married to him. He's just moans all the time. Yeah, he's up to the dodges. Paul Watson's cute.
He's one to watch.
He's one to watch. He's quiet. But, yeah, a fox. A fox. Hendo's, like, just a daft boy, yeah. But, Joker, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
They're the main characters as Paul related to just there a little bit earlier on there. Yeah, yeah. No. But they're good characters as well, though. You know, they're good characters. You know, they are a bit boyish and they are. You know, they're young men, and well, they like their darts as well. They like their wee game of darts. It kind of keeps them kind of like happy in the dressing room before training and after training. You know. So fair enough, whatever keeps them happy. They're the jokers and the loudest in the dressing room.
Right.
Other than yourselves, because we know how snappy you both are, who's the best and worst dressers in the change room?
Huh. You're asking 2 60-year-olds. I've seen Juan come out with some dodgy tracksuits.
I've seen him on Instagram. I've seen a few of his get-ups.
The worst dresser. But,
he's colourful, let's say.
Yeah.
Colourful, yeah. It might actually be the best gear in the dressing room, but he's colourful, without doubt.
We actually were a wee bit disappointed he's not got the caps on today, gents, because obviously
We're indoors.
I even got my cap out ready just in case. Right.
I'll be changing the woolly hat shortly when the weather gets worse. The woolly hat will come on for me.
The weather was good for so long. I've got to protect the balding upper. You know, I've got factor 50 on and a cap. Trying to get the balding upper burnt.
Who's the teacher's pet? Who's that player that's leaving behind an apple, going, you know, hanging about in the training ground afterwards, coming up to you, going, "Did I play well today, Gaffer?" Who's the teacher's pet?
I don't think that'll go down too well.
Okay. Taking the fifth on that one, John.
There's one.
Right, we know there's one there, though.
Ryan Williamson did come into my garden last week, so maybe I'll go.
Right, there you go.
Brilliant. And I think we've got time. I think we've got time for at least one more, I think, John, haven't we? So who in the squad would make a good manager in the future, do you think?
I would say Stephen McGinn. Probably is the one that's closest to doing that type of thing, you know, being like his age and being probably the most senior player in the squad. He's probably the one who's closest to doing that. Mm-hmm. But I think his background is like football. The family he's come from, they're all football daft, you know. And you can only really see him going either that or into punditry. You know, I think he does a little bit on Radio Clyde and that, and little bits and pieces for the BBC. But I think you could see Stephen McGinn going into coaching and then management further down the line. He takes a great interest in the analysis that we do, like most of them do. But I think he pays, you know, even more attention than someone's got a more mature and more experienced eye of the game.
Yeah,
probably what he's probably worked with a lot of different managers as well, and come across a hell of a lot. He's been to a few clubs, you know.
So we know who the teacher's pet is as well now. There you are. Guys, listen, thank you so much for joining us in Falkirk. You didn't have to do that, and we really, really appreciate your time because we've obviously got that big game on Saturday. Have you got any kind of final message for the supporters out there?
Keep supporting us. You know, the backing has been fantastic, home and away, absolutely. Big numbers at home, 3-7, 3-8. Obviously, we're looking at 7,000 already for and this is like Tuesday where
unbelievable. League One game.
Not going out to Thursday, but you know, 7,000 already sold, and it's only Tuesday. So this game is always going to catch imagination, but I think the fact that the two teams are going so well, we respect Dunfermline, the team at the top of the league. You know, we want to try and cut into that 4-point gap there is right now. I don't think any quarter will be asked or given at the weekend. I think both teams are going to go for it and give everything they've got to get the points for their prospective club. And obviously, we're looking to, thought the game at East End Park was a great game. We're hoping it's everybody as good with us coming out on top.
Brilliant. John McGlynn, Paul Smith, thank you so much for coming on Falkirk Daft. Come on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Yes, absolutely. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So there you have it, Ross, John McGlynn and Paul Smith. I have to say, I'm feeling drained after that because I was just like, right, if I say the wrong thing here, he is going to find me in the stands on Saturday and probably batter me.
Yeah, well, he now knows where we sit as well.
Oh, well done for that, Ross. Great, well done. Oh, we just sit behind you in the dugout, John. Oh, he's going to, like, if he hears it, he's going to hear this go out. In fact, he doesn't do social media, so he won't hear it. Don't tag him or anything like that. But he's going to find us and seek us out and basically batter me. Thanks for that, Ross. Really appreciate it.
I know, I did throw you in it.
I was slagging it at Kel. I was saying a couple of things, but I didn't aim anything at the manager. It was all the players. Honest, John, if you're listening.
Exactly. It was the players who were.
Exactly. But no, some really interesting points. I think the most interesting point we've got from it is that John McGlynn is not a fan of Strictly and prefers Pop Idol on the X Factor.
Exactly. Well, I don't think that's a shock to me. I thought he was a Pop Idol kind of guy.
But you can tell, like, the two of them, and you know, when we talked about the live and the breathe football, you know, and it's that manager that we've been needing, and I think we all agree since Hoosty, is that, you know, established old school. And now I'm not saying John's old school, because you can hear his philosophy and how it's changed working with Brendan Rodgers and just taking everything on board. He's got an old school philosophy, but a new philosophy, if that makes any sense.
No,
old school mentality, new school philosophy.
Yeah, hard work, but with a modern approach on it. You could tell, you know, he doesn't
like anyone short, by the way.
No, he doesn't. Well, however, he obviously, because he mentioned Liam McCann's been playing at his skin, which is great to hear him say that, because obviously there was a lot of rumours that Leon wasn't fancied, and then I suppose you put the signing of Mackie in there as well, but actually he's made left-back his own now.
And he's undroppable.
Mackie can't even get in the team just now, so...
Yeah.
No, listen, I thought that was brilliant. Big, massive thank you to the pair of them for coming on, and I think you and I both thought, oh, they're not going to come on, and then they've came on, so that's been brilliant. Big shout out to Gordon and the guys at Citrus Business Solutions as well for sponsoring the show tonight as well.
Yeah, if you want a fresh way to buy for your business, check out Citrus Business Solutions. 200 years of combined experience under their belts will provide more than 40,000 essential office products and a suite of services to businesses all over the country. And as we say, get in touch with Gordon. You can give him a call, 01282 602 099, or get him at sales@citrusofficegroup.com. Thank you very much for listening to the first Falkirk Daft meets. Hopefully we can do a couple more. I quite fancy it now.
Yeah,
I quite fancy
it. Yeah, we'll
think
look.
A couple of ex-players maybe we get on. I know a couple of them we could maybe get on. So maybe do some more of these. I quite enjoyed that, apart from feeling physically drained. But thank you very much for listening. You can get us, the usual show is drops every Monday on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Falkirk Daft, and it's on to the big one now, Ross. We're recording this on a Tuesday, like John said, 7,000 tickets sold. Do you think we can sell out the stadium on Saturday?
Do you know, I think this is the closest we've came in a long time. Obviously we're assuming Dunfermline sell their end out, so be amazing. Can you imagine 6,000 Bairns in the home end on Saturday? We've obviously got, I think they said, what is it, less than 1,200 tickets to now left, so it's approaching 5,000 Falkirk fans just now, which is brilliant.
It's going to be some atmosphere in the stadium on Saturday. We'll be there, you'll be there, and we'll be bringing you all a review and hopefully it's a good in come Monday, because if it's a bad result on Saturday, I don't even want to turn up for this podcast on Monday. I really don't. Don't I turn up for work?
Well, that's it. You've got a couple of powers.
But listen, thanks very much for listening to Falk at Daft. And until next time, Ross, Wayne.
Expect the unexpected, John. Mon the Bairns.